In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. One of the greatest attributes of God is compassion. How often in our prayers, in our liturgical text, do we call God compassionate? God is compassionate and merciful. O God of compassion and consolation. Now, the word compassion has several shades of meaning, and it might help to know just what we're saying about God when we call God compassionate. Let's start with the word passion. Nowadays, passion tends to mean internal energy, an internal drive. If you have a passion for reading, you'll rarely be seen without a book in hand. A passion can also be negative, too, what we sometimes call the passions. Think the passion of anger or the passion of greed, right? But the root of the word passion does not actually mean energy. Passion originally meant to suffer. To suffer. We hear that meaning in phrases like the passion of the Christ or the passion gospels, which are the passages about the crucifixion. So if at its root passion means to suffer, compassion means to suffer with, to co-suffer. If I have compassion for you, it means when you are in pain, I suffer with you. And if God is a God of compassions, that means when we suffer, God suffers with us. God is compassionate, which means there is no suffering that you endure in which God does not somehow co-suffer with you. Now, this week in the church, we're celebrating the feast of the meeting of our Lord Jesus in the temple. 40 days after his birth, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple for the first time. For the ancient Israelites, this was a day of brightness and a day of celebration to bring your new baby to the temple for the first of hopefully many, many visits. And here it's particularly meaningful. God in the person of Jesus Christ comes as a baby and joins humanity in our place of worship, in a place where heaven and earth mingle like a great Venn diagram. But in spite of the beauty and the light and the celebration, there is a layer of shadows hanging over the proceedings. A foreshadowing revealed that Jesus has come not only to bring us light, but to suffer with us in our suffering. First shadow, the worship in the temple where this is taking place included animal sacrifices. Death is happening one room over. Unblemished lambs and other animals are being sacrificed at that very hour. Those two turtle doves Joseph is carrying in the icon, they're not going to be released like some helium balloons. Second shadow, Simeon, the old prophet, who holds Jesus, prays, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." It's a very poetic way of saying, "Lord, I am ready to die." Third shadow, after his prayer, Simeon turns to Mary with a very cryptic message. He says, "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." Also, if a sword in your own soul isn't bad enough, also means there's going to be more than one soul pierced. What are all these shadowy layers hovering over an otherwise bright and festive occasion with a brand new baby? Compassion, co-suffering. They reveal that Jesus has come because when we suffer, God suffers with us. The Son of God has come to where we live, and where we live sometimes includes suffering. Jesus has come to enter our pains and our wounds and to enter even our death. And by experiencing God's compassion, by experiencing God's co-suffering with me, my suffering can somehow be transformed into light. And at the very least, I know God has not left me alone. God co-suffering with us is the world's ultimate healing power. It's the oil that soothes our deepest wounds. Jesus enters the temple with all its shadows to let us know that God comes to us in co-suffering compassion, bringing a flame of light to our darkest places. Now, I'd like us to look at two actions of compassion. I mean, we all know the feeling of compassion. We've all experienced that. When someone suffers and I feel this internal pain, my heart aches, I feel that with them. That's the feeling of compassion. But compassion also has two actions. The first action of compassion is this. If I can do something to alleviate someone's suffering, I do it. If someone is cold and I am a compassionate person, I give them a coat or a blanket or a pair of boots. That's an action of compassion. When the four friends, when they brought the paralyzed man to Jesus and it was too crowded to get in, right? Did they give up? Of course not. They went up on the roof and tore a hole in it to let their suffering friend get closer to Jesus. That's an action of compassion for a friend. And when Jesus sees him being lowered down through the ceiling, he himself is filled with compassion and forgives his sins and heals him. The first action of compassion is, if I can alleviate suffering, I do. But sometimes, maybe even a lot of the time, I can't alleviate the suffering in someone else. Simeon said to Mary, he said, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. What's he talking about? It was a reference to Mary's internal suffering watching her son crucified. She's going to feel pierced to the heart. In that hour, Mary was the very definition of compassionate, co-suffering with her son on the cross. And that sword may as well have been real. But filled with compassion as Mary is, there is nothing she can do about it. There's nothing she can do about it. There's nothing she can do to stop the pain. She can't stop the crucifixion. And this leads to the second action of compassion. When you cannot alleviate the suffering, you can sit with the one who suffers. You can simply be in their presence without having to do. One of the greatest gifts we can give to someone in pain is to be with them without trying to fix it. To be sad with them without trying to cheer them up. To be with them in the silence of the pain like Mary was at the foot of the cross. And it's hard to turn off that fix-it instinct because we want things better. It's hard to turn that off and simply co-suffer with someone. You know, I've seen it in myself, for example, at funerals. I want to say something positive. To spin death and grief as somehow not so bad. Not so bad. But that's the wrong kind of compassion at the wrong time. To sit with someone in their pain without trying to fix them is to let myself be pierced with the same sword that pierced Mary. And that sword is compassion. It is co-suffering. It is suffering with someone in pain. And so when we encounter this feast day of 40-day-old Jesus being brought into the temple for the first time and filling our place of worship with light, we also become aware of the shadows around it. And that's not to frighten us. And it's not to put a damper on the festivities. It's an affirmation about the very nature of Jesus Christ, God with us, that God has come not only as the God of light, but also as the God of compassion. Amen.